You are listening to Community Spotlight on Gila Members Community Radio, Kuru 89.1 FM in Silver City, New Mexico, and online at gmcr.org. Our purpose is to enhance public awareness of our featured nonprofit or advocacy organization in Grant County and surrounding area. I'm Candace Burke, your weekly host. Joining me today are Sophia Whiting, Jackie Orton, and Cinda Gillian. Sophia is Amber Care's hospice community liaison. Cinda is the administrator of Millie's Assisted Living, and Jackie is a social worker for Amber Care. They are here to talk about loss of a loved one and how to get support for that loss. Welcome to Community Spotlight.
Thank you.
I hope I got everyone's names.
Perfect.
Perfect.
So anyway, I just want to start with, I know a lot of our listeners know firsthand what it's like to experience loss. So tell us more about what does grief look like? How individual is it? And just expound on that, if you may. Just start where you feel you would like to share.
I would say...
This is Cinda,
yes. I'd say grief is completely individual, right? Each of us grieve in our own way, for our own length of time, for our own reasons, over whatever it is that comes into our lives, whether it's a death or a loss. So it's really individualized.
And Jackie, what could you add to that?
The emotional component that comes with grief can vary tremendously. Yep. And we need to honor those feelings that we have and be able to recognize them.
I really like that you're sharing that, because a lot of people still don't feel they can openly share. There's still maybe some stigma attached to bereavement.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So I'm glad you could emphasize honoring that. And Sophia, is there anything you would like to add to this?
No, I think the two of them have done a wonderful job just summing it all up. It is individual, and that's why we are trying to help the community in getting through their grief. And we're hoping that, which is why we started this grief support group, which will be on our second meeting will be this coming Monday at the Silver City Women's Club. At 1 o'clock.
Now, when our listeners hear about grief support, what does that entail? What can they expect from that experience?
Oh, my goodness.
Jackie,
that's a good one. Yes. Well, number one, they will expect an open arm, inviting atmosphere. We're not here to judge, of course. You know, we all experience grief or trauma at some point in our life, and having that openness and being able to talk about it, even if when we first walk in the doors, we might feel a little closed off, but once we listen and we hear other people talk about their grief and what they're going through, somehow it just kind of normalizes, for lack of a better word, that, you know, what we're going through is maybe normal, you know? Yeah. It's going to be okay.
Mm-hmm. So that's it.
Yep, exactly. I think that just allowing people that space to come in and be able to share where they're at in the moment and see where they're hoping to go, or, you know, what's stopping them from moving forward, anything like that.
Yeah, and even we can tag team a little bit on their goals and their wishes moving forward, you know, kind of getting to the root of it and individualizing it, helping them hone in on what they need for themselves to move past and beyond.
Yeah.
And everybody's different in that process.
Very, like you said, it's very unique for each person.
Mm-hmm. Most definitely.
Yeah.
And so when they walk in there, they're feeling very vulnerable, I'm guessing.
They can
be very vulnerable.
Yes.
And to open up to people they don't know takes a great deal of courage.
Yes.
And trust.
And trust.
I think trust, too.
Mm-hmm. So what, again, if a listener is going to reach out and participate in this group, again, what do you recommend in terms of preparing for that group? What would you suggest?
I'm not sure there's really anything you can do to prepare. Right. I think if you've done group work in the past, you may have a sense of how it'll go.
Mm-hmm.
And if you've never done group work, it's just coming and being with people that are in a similar situation, and you're all sharing those realities with one another, right? So it's mm-hmm. just nothing, you don't need to do anything to prepare, just bring yourself and the desire to change mm-hmm. in some way, shape, or form.
And I like to add on to that, that change process is morphing through yeah. healing.
Change, you know, loss is about change mm-hmm. also.
Yes.
And things change moment by moment.
Right. Yes. Yeah. And just to kind of hone in and own those emotions that go through each of us in those stages.
Right.
And through the process.
Yeah, that makes sense. Mm-hmm. And typically, how many people are in a group? Where do you cap off the number of people in that group?
Cinda.
Cinda. And listeners, we're talking about grief support.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, an ideal group size is somewhere between 8 and 12.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
Yeah.
I was going to say kind of max it at 10, maybe, yeah. you know, somewhere's in there.
Right. You want people to have time to be able to talk as they need to and to get around that entire group in the time that you've got.
So. And for the cohesiveness,
mm-hmm.
even though it's individual for each person, if you don't want to speak, you don't have to speak.
Right. There's no pressure.
No, none at all whatsoever. Mm-hmm. It's just there to be a welcoming environment, let you know that you're loved and that, you know, what you're going through is essentially normal.
Right.
And
hard,
society.
But yeah, hard but normal. Yeah.
Society just doesn't talk about it. You know,
no.
I always say it's like behavioral health and mental health and, you know, and then the grief is in there and trauma and complicated trauma and all of this, you know, it just kind of swirls around us. Well, we don't want it to swirl anymore. We want to kind of get it to where we can identify it,
sure.
know what it is, understand the process, and move beyond it.
And, you know, we were talking before the recording how there is no time limit with bereavement. Expound on that.
No, there's... You know, oftentimes you'll hear people say, oh, you should just get over it. Just move on. It's like, it doesn't work that way, right? There's,
nope.
You're going to grieve forever. It's mm-hmm. how you use that grief, whether or not it's something that's stopping you from moving forward, or if it's just something that accompanies you that lets you know that the person that you lost is, you know, still there with you, or that you still care about that pet that you lost, or anything like that. There's, you don't have to get over it. You just have to be able to find joy in life and do the things you need to do in your life at the same time as you right. carry the grief.
Very good.
That's
excellent.
It. And also, you know, we talked about pets.
Mm-hmm.
What does an individual do if they're grieving a pet?
They're still grieving the way anybody else does.
Yes.
Pets are often part of a family, and there are plenty of people who will tell you that when they lost their pet, they felt it more than they did when they lost somebody else, a
mm-hmm.
human being.
Mm-hmm.
So there's no judgment on that. It's as real as any other form of grief.
Exactly.
Yes.
Any type of a companionship where we've,
yep.
you know, integrated all of those feelings. And, yeah, so pets, I mean, they're there.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah,
they truly are.
Yeah.
People can grieve if they're losing their sight or losing their hearing or if they've lost a limb or any.
Yes, thank you, Cindy.
Yeah, any number of things.
I'm really, really glad you brought that up mm-hmm. because, you know, I have so many peers who are grieving the loss of a health condition, whatever
yes.
they're dealing with,
yes.
and they're coping with hearing impairment, vision impairment. This is so important
mm-hmm.
because that person really benefits from having a great level of support.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm. I was speaking to a social worker at the dialysis center, and she was saying the same thing, the loss of the kidney function.
Right.
So, yeah, and I didn't think about it that way. I'm like, yeah, losing a piece of yourself is definitely grief. So,
mm-hmm.
yeah, that's absolutely.
Yeah. And here's another component to grief, the anticipatory grief.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk about that. Go ahead, Jackie.
Sure.
I want to hear about this.
That is just kind of the realization when our brain kind of kicks in and we kind of go into overdrive a little bit and we start thinking and maybe ruminating a little bit about whatever this new condition or phase in life is that we're facing and how to live within that circle that we have, that space that we have for ourselves. And anticipatory grief can be very much as difficult, if not more, than the actual phases of the emotions of the anger and denial and, you know, the bargaining that comes to play when our brain is kind of playing tricks on us a little bit, you know.
Yes.
We think, oh, well, if I do this, then, you know, maybe I can heal this way, you know. But we just have to kind of recognize that.
That's a good point, because there's a lot of anticipatory grief around partner loss.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Older adults who are partnered, the domestic partner, they're already anticipating that loss. Mm-hmm. And occasionally, you know, George and I have those conversations ourselves as a couple, how much we love each other, and that attachment is very strong.
Yes. Yep.
So I'm sure you hear those conversations often.
Yes. Especially with somebody with a loved one with dementia,
right.
Because they've lost the person in a way, but the person is still there in the body. So that's a great, thing that they have to get through.
Right.
Yeah, that anticipatory grief, but actual grief, because they've lost the person. So it's like a dichotomy of feelings going on
right.
in them.
Exactly, because they're already in a way dealing, they're seeing the death.
Yeah, there's a death, but the person's still there.
They're still so there, which makes it
worse.
Much more complex.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So painful at times.
Yes.
So do you have some, you know, examples of that, again, of what you observe and what you see with this kind of bereavement?
I think Sophia just really shared an excellent example of that with dementia. And a lot of us maybe, you know, usually it's like our parents, so to speak. But with the dementia, you know, you've got the person there in the physical realm, but then we have this other realm. Some people might want to call it, I always refer to it as the universe or, you know, the spiritual realm or, you know, this force that we can't always, you know, pinpoint what it is necessarily. But that particular patient is in that space. And so we kind of have to step back. And again, it's honoring that person still, and then learning how to incorporate and honor that extra space that isn't the physical, if that makes sense.
That makes perfect sense.
Okay.
And there is a movement for some individuals to have a living funeral, a living celebration.
Yes. Celebration
really?
Of life.
Yeah, of life.
Oh,
I've
never heard of that.
Yes.
Yes.
I'm hearing more. Are you? You've been...
Yeah. So I did work to become an end-of-life doula, and that's part of what we do, is we provide that for the person, for the family, and it gives people who are dying, who, if they have control, I mean, if they're still, their faculties are still strong, they can make choices about, I'm going to give this to you, and I'm going to tell you the reason why, you know, things like that, which helps people get that business finished so that they can die in with peace, right?
Amen.
Which is,
that's
I think, it. Just Amen. A wonderful, wonderful thing.
I agree.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's very true.
Yeah, I really espouse the idea of why wait till a person dies before we celebrate who they are.
Exactly.
So in the end of life, doulas really are a central part of that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And also, and I have to ask you, what led you into this work? I just am so curious. This is such a beautiful livelihood and so necessary one. Share with tell our listeners more about that experience for the two of you. And Sophia, you can chime on in.
Yeah.
No, please.
Well, I can start. I'll just say that, you know, with my social work career, I had absolutely no idea that I was going into social work to begin with, until I had a family member that had a physical situation, ailment, so to speak, and then I just kind of morphed from there. And like you, Candace, who shared with me about your interest in hospice back in the 80s, I actually had taken a volunteer class for hospice back in the 80s in California. And then when I moved here to Grant County with GRMC, I took one then too. And I had no idea that I would actually be morphing back. And now I just feel like this is where I'm really, truly supposed to be with. I mean, I've helped people with grief and trauma, and through that, I've just kind of understood. It's like a full circle.
Yes.
That's what I'm trying to say. Yes, so for
it's a good
me,
way of putting it.
That's how I morphed into this position.
Yeah.
So.
And for you, Senda.
Mine comes in a slightly different. I'm also a social worker. But at the time that I was doing my social work degree, I was also considering going into the Episcopal Church as either a deacon or as a priest. And I ended up doing a spiritual direction certification, and I found spiritual direction to be something that I was really good at. I never wanted to really do therapy, but I wanted to help people. And so through my social work, that took me to working with older people and with people in the LGBTQ community. And they talked a lot about the struggles they had around death, dying, and spirituality. And so I was doing a lot of work there, came here to become the administrator of Millie's, and saw the process, the hospice process, the palliative care process, and thought, this is really cool. And I also teach university courses online mm-hmm. for different universities. And most of that work, so few people are aware that they could do like hospice social work, or they could do palliative care, that they can work in those teams, and that it involves things like, you know, that spiritual component, or yes. that they could volunteer as a death doula, anything like that. So it's, again, I feel like everything in my life kind of got thrown into the basket, and out of that basket came this work.
How interesting. Listeners, we are talking here in GMCR about grief support. Sophia, I have to ask you briefly, how did you get into this field?
I started in 2010 as a hospice social worker, and it just happened to be the job I was able to get. But I haven't gotten out of hospice since then. It's kind of like how you just sort of, your path sort of just takes you in this direction, and then you're like, oh, okay, yeah. This is perfect.
It's like a wake
up. So, yeah. So I was a hospice social worker in Florida for 7 years, and then moved around a little bit and became a liaison for another hospice, and just talking about hospice. Even when I wasn't working for hospice, I was still talking about hospice. I just love hospice. I know that it's an odd thing to say.
It'll be the death of us.
But it's just it's helping people at that time sort of get through that, and kind of holding their hand and walking through it. And then with the bereavement support, continuing to hold their hand and not letting go until they're until they're ready.
Right.
Yeah. Like I said, it's just beautiful. Yeah. The social workers I've been aligned with over the years who do the hospice you all are just so inspiring, continue to inspire me, that's for sure. It's a beautiful work. A necessary one, like I said.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
And how do you decompress, social workers?
Chocolate is always good.
Yeah.
Yes. I actually brought donuts to our – we have a bereavement group in Deming that we do as well. Mm-hmm. And I always bring donuts in after the group, which was a great group. The donuts were really like
a big
right
hit.
To it. I was like, now we need donuts.
And she's perfect.
Donuts are an essential component of life, I think. Yeah. Very essential.
Yes.
So decompression, what else do you do?
I use exercise and cuddle time with my partner and my dogs, and reading, and just learning how to leave work at the door and come back into my life and have a different kind of life inside the house.
That's a lot of balance right there.
Yeah.
And Jackie, for you?
I practice gratitude a lot, and I will often find myself just, you know, standing outside and just taking in what it is, you know, that I get to provide and the people that have walked into my life and just all of it. So gratitude, pet therapy.
Yeah.
Any kind of spiritual thing that calls to you to do is definitely.
And like you said, that's a very unique individual thing too.
Yeah. I also enjoy movement, dance, music.
Music.
Yeah. Powerful. So, you know, and if it's in reading, I do a lot of that. Yeah. I enjoy research. So that's just, you know, that's something that you can get into and kind of, and for many people too, you know, art, anything that's creative.
Yeah, art's is very powerful too.
Right. Yep. And these decompression tools are still some of the same outlets that we recommend our patients to gravitate towards because individual healing is ongoing. Yeah. We might as well learn how to incorporate this stuff sooner than later.
Because when you're grieving, you need to be doing some self-care, too.
Yes.
And self-care. I'm so glad there's a lot more emphasis on self-care in this day and age because, we just took on this huge work ethic in this country at the expense of one's own physical and emotional well-being. So it's really important that you're getting that word out.
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Now, contact information. I know our listeners want to hear all about how to make contact with you regarding grief support groups.
Well, they can call our main office or they can call myself at 575-313-1082 or they can call Jackie
575-495-6459
or Cinda.
And they can call me. I'm at 720-215-7922.
As we're wrapping up today's show, I'd like for you all to share, just as we're wrapping this up, more about what you want our listeners to understand about these support groups.
I would say that if you're grieving, regardless of the source of the grief, if you're grieving, you don't have to do it alone. You can come and be with people who will support you and who will help you on that journey.
I really don't think I can add a whole lot to that. And, it's the truth. Yeah. We are here for you. I think we both enjoy serving the community. All three of us really connect very well. Mm-hmm. So just know that it's a good spot and a good space to feel cared for a little bit while you're going through this journey.
And it doesn't have to be a recent passing. It can be something that happened years ago that maybe they still haven't quite gotten through yet or something triggered those emotions to come back. Mm-hmm. So, you know, past grief is fine. I mean, we accept anyone for any reason and they don't have to feel pressured to share, as they were saying. They can listen. And so it's a lot of listening, support from the other members of the group, and then education and listening from our facilitators. So,
I'm really glad you're saying this because, you know, there are a lot of individuals out there who still don't have closure with the person they love. Mm-hmm. They're still trying to come to terms with it. Mm-hmm. And having that extra support there's no shortcoming in recognizing that support is really an ongoing thing.
Right.
Yes.
There's no real end to loss.
Truly. Yeah. And coming to the meetings, you know, you'll get new ideas also, I think, on how to move beyond.
That's really important. I know our listeners are really appreciating what you have to share. And I can't thank you enough for being here today. And I hope you'll come back. I know you're doing a lot of outreach out there. So this is a really wonderful place for you to get the message out. Wonderful. Thank you.
Thank you so much for having us, Candace.
You have been listening to Community Spotlight on Gila Members Community Radio. Kuru 89.1 FM in Silver City, New Mexico, and online at gmcr.org. Community Spotlight airs every Thursday at 10:30 a.m. and is archived online at gmcr.org. I'm Candace Burke. Thanks for listening.
See you watching me just like a hawk. I don't mind the way you talk, but if you touch me, something's got to give. I live life of love and love life of live. My diamond ring and my money too. Tomorrow night they could belong to you. The girls move me at their will. I live life of love and love life of live. I may lay 100 on a bet this time. Tomorrow night can't cover your dime. Next week I could be over the hill. I'm just trying to tell you people how I feel. You see me rocking as I pass you by. Don't talk about me cause I could be high. Just forgive me if you will. I live a life of love and love a life of love. This time, tomorrow night I can't cover your dime. Next week I could be over the hill. I'm just trying to tell you people how I feel. You see me rocking as I pass you by. Don't talk about me cause I could be high. And just forgive me if you will. I live a life of love and love a life of love.